Good news, everybody. 2020 is almost over. And depending on when you're listening to this, it is over. But the bad news is we lost some absolutely iconic musicians this year, most notably Neil Peart and Eddie Van Halen. Now, one of the casualties of 2020 was singer, guitarist, and founder of the band Mountain, Leslie West. Now, back in 2015, I was extremely blessed to be able to interview Leslie West for bluesrockreview.com. He was super kind and you know, generous with his time. I mean, I think the dude welcomely gave me like a half an hour with him. He didn't know me from Adam, but he did a great interview. I mean, just as if he was on the Howard Stern show. He was also freaking hilarious. We laughed a lot, and it was an experience that I'm going to cherish for the rest of my life. Now, the interview, this is a kind of a good thing that happened out of a bad thing, was picked up in Rolling Stone and Guitar World magazine's websites about a week or so ago when it happened. So pretty cool. So check it out. If you want to see the full interview, I have a link for it in the notes. But so on, the reason I'm telling y'all is because on this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to celebrate the lives and the music of Eddie Van Halen, Neil Peart, Leslie West, as well as a bunch of other icons that we lost this year. It's going to be a fun but heartfelt look back at some of the most amazing musicians and their legacy. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Alright, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Something kind of interesting just happened in the studio as I was doing that very heartfelt introduction that I took hours to compose. Lily gave herself a makeover. She looks completely different.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, she just spun around just like Diana Prince. And wow, you look completely different.
All I really did was take my hair down, I'm not gonna lie.
Isn't it crazy? It's crazy. What girls can do, like what the ladies can do with their hair and all that jazz, right, Keith?
I can't do a show of mine.
I know. Mine won't do anything either. But anyways, you are listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to loulombardimusic.com. You can get on our list, and we send out cool emails all the time. It'll give you access to our private Facebook group where everybody, all they do is hang out all day and talk about music. Sounds like a little slice of heaven, doesn't it? loulombardimusic.com. Oh, by the way, I'm giving away a free EP, so check that out, and there's more music to come. Some stuff I did with Keith is going to finally come out real soon, as well as some stuff I'm doing with some other guys here in Pittsburgh. So it's going to be real cool. You want to check it out. I want to talk about our first sponsor tonight, which is wolfscustoms.online. There's no reason, guys, no reason at all to get up there on a gig or your virtual gig or whatever and have the same boring looking guitar as this, you know, as everybody else out there. You know, we've all seen the Cherry Sunburst, we've all seen the Paco Burst, we've all seen this and that, you know, Daphne Blue, Seafoam Green. What you want to do is you want to get a hold of Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at wolfscustoms.online, and Chris will set you up with a custom paint job on your guitar instrument. He does basses, drums. Keith did a great job for Keith here at the circus. So you want to go to wolfscustoms.online, talk to Chris Thunderwolf Dodson about all the different things that they can do. If you go to the website, there's some great photos there and things you can check out as well. But get a hold of them, and don't forget to tell them Ludini sent you. And real quick, I want to give a shout-out to rockrageradio.com. Rock Rage carries this podcast faithfully every week, despite their own better judgment, and we are very grateful for that. And we're wishing Rock Rage Radio and all the folks there a wonderful new year, and looking forward to 2021 with you guys. Speaking of Rock Rage Radio, we have the full Ludini Power Trio in the house today. We have Keith the Hawk Hawkins and Lily V6. Lily V6 is from Rock Rage Radio.
I am from Rock Rage Radio.
Yes, and your show is Hot Licks?
Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
And Keith the Hawk Hawkins is in the house. So what is going on, Hawk?
You know, man, just living the dream, one day at a time.
That's all.
Matter of fact, I'm living so one day at a time. My nickname is Schneider.
Do you have a tool belt?
Later on, me and Mackenzie Phillips are going to do blow off the toilet.
Nice.
have to edit that out. Thank you.
Where's Belly Bertinelli when you need her?
She's weeping.
She's still in mourning.
She's still in mourning. She's weeping at Eddie's grave. Anyways, so we are the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and we are going to be talking. We're talking about the some of the amazing musicians that we lost in 2020. So, and we let's just try to keep it positive. So, if you can say something happy, I appreciate it.
We're up. This is all up.
All right. So this is up. This is smiles, everyone. So let's just go ahead. We'll jump in with Lily. No particular order. You know, we're just probably going to be talking about some of our favorites, I would imagine.
Legit.
So what do you got, Lily?
I'll just start with Little Richard. Everybody knows who that is, right? But anyway, he's the innovator, the originator, the architect of rock and roll. He was most celebrated in the 1950s. Tutti Frutti, we all know that song. Unfortunately, we lost him on May 9th of this year, age of 87. From bone cancer, but he was he received many tributes from many popular musicians after that: Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, Mick Jagger, John Fogerty, Elton John, and so many more. But he was a very celebrated musician, and a lot of people were influenced by him. He was one of the first, so there it is.
Possibly the first song ever to have the rock and roll beat.
Yeah,
was Tutti Frutti. I wasn't there, but you listen to it. A lot of songs before that still had that swinging shuffle vibe to it. You know, got that, you know, almost like a jazz feel.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the first ones to bring out that straight eighth note, just rock and roll kind of feel that basically took the world by storm. But, I mean, it's all behind that backbeat that launched that kind of music. But definitely a pioneer of rock and roll. And, I mean, what can you say about the guy? I mean, a lot of his songs are very short. Simple, have a very, you know, the same chord structure through him. He does the woo and every friggin' song.
Mm-hmm.
But it is him. As soon as you hear that voice, as soon as you hear that piano, he lights it up, and he basically had a long, full life, and God bless him, man. May you rest in peace, because you are one of the definitely architects of rock and roll. And without him, it might have been a little bit different. He definitely set a precedent that wasn't, you know, often try to be duplicated, but really wasn't, you know.
He, Little Richard, also had a religious conversion, and talked a lot about it. You know, he had made the rounds in the sort of religious community as well. He was one of those people, kind of like, it kind of like, you know, he reminded me a little bit of Johnny Cash in that way. You know how Johnny walked that line between like being like really hip and really cool, but also kind of having this like kind of Christian thing going on. And Little Richard was kind of like that in his own way. He was just a very wildly interesting person. He had an amazing stage presence that Prince really copied. Jimi Hendrix copied.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you know, it was just like
it wasn't just the music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, exactly. I mean, yeah, James Brown is inspired by Little Richard, absolutely. So, I mean, he's a true icon of music.
Yeah, again, if we didn't have him, I mean, that would have been like, you know, rock and roll could have been a lot different. I mean, he definitely had the flamboyance and had that bigger than life persona, and just, but a lot of people try to talk the talk, and he did it, man. He walked the walk, talked the talk, did his whole thing, and he was just the guy that just was a legendary performer and songwriter, singer. I mean, he had the whole package. What are you going to do, you know? Rest in peace, Little Richard.
Rest in peace, Little Richard. I'm going to go next, because I want to talk about a guy who has... this guy has connections from everybody from, let me see here. He has connections with Mick Fleetwood to Kirk Hammett of Metallica. That is how this guy's musical influence has just like larger than life. And he had a very tragic fall from grace for a long period of time, but family found him and worked with him, and he ended up having a really big comeback in a different genre many, many years later. And I'm talking about the wildly innovative and wildly interesting guitarist Peter Green. Peter Green came into prominence in England as a member. No, see, Eric Clapton was not the only famous guitar player from John Mayall's Blues Breakers. Peter Green was also in that band. He played after the Beanie. There's a Beanie and a Greenie in this story. After the Beano album, and that is just as amazing record. And then went on to work with. That's where he ended up meeting John McVie and Mick Fleetwood. I can't talk tonight. Mick Fleetwood, and this was the impetus for a band, Fleetwood Frickin' Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you see where this guy starts. He starts with John Mayall, where Eric Clapton came out of John Mayall, and now all of a sudden we've got Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we all know what happens there. You know, eventually that situation falls apart. The reason it does is because Peter, who is already a kind of psychologically interesting person, got invited to a party while the band was on tour in Germany and was given something, which to this day we do not know what. And caused him to have a serious mental decline for many, 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 many years. He became a vagabond. He became homeless. Eventually, family found him, and he got healthy again. And he went out and he made a splash and did some Grammy nominated blues albums in the 90s and 2000s. But the real connection to all these people is this guitar he had. He had a Gibson Les Paul with a one pickup that was turned around backwards, and the guitar was affectionately known as Greenie, and Greenie got sold eventually. It's classic. It's the guitar on the record with John Mayall's Blues Breakers and all the iconic Fleetwood Mac stuff he did, and it got sold to different various people over the years, but one of the most prominent people was another guy who passed away, the blues guitarist Gary Moore. So he had it for a long time. After Gary died, it was ended up in the hand of a collector briefly, and now it is owned by none other than Kirk Hammett from Metallica. And Kirk takes it on the road.
Wow.
It has it's in a special case, and somebody's in charge of it, and there's cameras on it at all times. I don't know if any of that's true, but it sounds cool.
It does sound cool.
But the rest of the story is true, though. But no, Kirk Hammett has that guitar now.
That's all that matters. Sometimes if it's not true, it don't matter. As long as it's
an interesting story, right? But check it out, man. Just an amazing guitar player with influence spanning decades of rock in a kind of sneaky way that you don't really think about. So Peter Green, go. What do you got, Keith?
I said before the show that this was a hard year, not just for everybody, but especially drummers. There are just so many drummers that passed away this year. And most of them are pretty well known, I would think. So I'm going to go with the great Frankie Benali from Quiet Riot. Of course, he's also played with Wasp and several other bands. But he's responsible for some of the most, I think, well-known drum intros of all time, and Frankie kept that band together through thick and thin, and probably 800 members later, he was still rolling with that, and unfortunately lost his battle this year, and it's just, it's sad to see, but he had a very, he had that unique kind of John Bonham sort of, you know, the big drums, big sound, big backbeat. Yeah, he was a very solid player, and just from what I understand, just a genuinely good human being, too, so that's, that helps sometimes with, when you see these people that are famous and you look up to them, you're like, I would hope that he's a good dude. And that from all reports I've ever heard that he was. So that rest in peace, Frankie Benali. You are between, you know, Come On, Feel the Noise and Mental Health. There's some of the, you know, great, well-known drum intros of all time. And, you know, he's keeping the beat up in heaven now, you know, so there you go.
There's a really cool documentary, Keith. I don't know if you've seen it.
The Quiet Riot one, I've seen it.
Yeah. Where they're trying to find the singer. They want to kind of get the thing going again, and they can't find the
singer. That's actually really good. I don't know if I would like it or not. I get those things about a half hour, and I usually just go on with my life. But that one there, I kind of...
You ever seen Lily?
Yeah, I've seen them all.
Yeah.
I've sucked, you know, it sucked me in, and that's, you know, it's one of them things where I think it was, it's a good documentary. I don't remember the name of it, but I mean, yeah, it's, it was definitely good. And it's interesting to see like how people go through, like, I mean, some of them people like that, you know, unfortunately that are, we'll call aging musicians. They don't know how to do anything else, man. They got to keep that shit together somehow. So whether it's going from, you know, in their heyday playing sold out arenas to playing at the friggin' Rib Festival somewhere. I mean, they're still doing it. And that's, you know, you got to give it to that because, I mean, what are they supposed to do? Go work at, you know, Home Depot.
Right.
I mean, it's Frankie Benelli, for God's sake.
That's all they know, is being a musician.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all you know.
You know the joke, right? My cousin wanted to hire a Molly Hatchet tribute band for his son's graduation.
We just got Molly Hatchet instead.
But they were too disgusting. They were too expensive, so we
just hired
Molly Hatchet.
There you go. So that's, I did hear that joke before. That is exactly it.
Anyways, you might be a redneck if you're from Pittsburgh and you want to hire Molly Hatchet. So, Lily, what you got?
Next on my list is Charlie Daniels, Uncle Charlie. He passed away July 6th of this year. Singer-songwriter, known for his Southern rock contributions, country, bluegrass. Best known for The Devil Went Down to Georgia, which everybody knows. Even the Muppets have done a cover of The Devil Went Down to Georgia. He was 83, so he lived a long life, had a stroke. But I had the chance to meet him at our Washington County Fair.
Okay.
Super nice guy. He comes over, he lets me sit next to him. He's talking to me about music. He signs a little paper and just super cool. Loved him. He's been in a couple movies I like Urban Cowboy. But yeah, I just love him. Little Southern rock there.
He has a, he has some other really cool songs that went right after he did Devil Went Down to Georgia.
I like Uneasy Rider. Because I think it's hysterical, and it reminds me of all my friends. They're just trying to get out of town after they go to a gay bar. So that is one of my favorite songs.
He had he has some very cool he had some very cool songs that came out in that.
The Sauce Gonna Do It Again.
Yeah. What's
the, I think it's the same song. I mean, I suck with song titles anymore. Just latter stages of my life. But the one where people love him is you go and lay your hands on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you'll find out they understand. So that's
in America, think that it ever would happen again, didn't it?
Yeah. So that's the song there. And if you'd be loved forever. All you have to do is mention the word Pittsburgh. You can play there for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Charlie Daniels. Devil Went Down to Georgia is probably one of the greatest. If that's classified a country tune or southern rock tune, it's probably one of the better ones of all time. So,
absolutely, it's absolutely iconic. It just tells a story. You know, that's a really you and I have talked about that before. I know this one reason why you like Iron Maiden because they do.
Because like the song that tells the story.
Yeah, you like the song.
That song actually almost got me beat up one night. In a fight. I was in a country rock band. I'll make it quick. I was in a country rock band at that big ass place out in it was out in North Hills somewhere. It was a huge like barn looking venue. Anyway, they had a battle of the bands there, and the band I was in did Devil Went Down to Georgia, and the fiddle player was killing it, and that brought the house down. But we were the only country rock band on the bill. Everything else was like punk or metal. And when we won the actual contest, because it's just that song, there was a bunch of like mulleted, you know, haired dudes outside waiting for us with like
nice.
You know, they got the fingerless gloves on and tight jeans, and they were going to throw us on the hood of the IROC Z and beat the shit out of us.
All over Charlie Daniels. Wow.
We still won the contest, which was the first prize was, I don't even remember what it was, I think 10 hours of studio time from some shitty studio.
Not all rockers are I want to finish. I want to get into this. Not all rockers are just in front, out front. This guy has an interesting career because there's a lot of behind the scenes people. You know, Frankie Benali, great drummer, but he's not Kevin Dubrow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's not the guy you're looking at.
He's more of a supporting musician. He's not more of a supporting person in the band. Okay. And this guy, what I'm going to talk about next, he was the front man. And he also did a lot of interesting things behind the scenes. And that was Adam Schlesinger, who, for the guitarist and, or excuse me, the bass player and the primary vocalist for the and songwriter for the band Fountains of Wayne.
Now,
Fountains of Wayne's, of course, biggest song that everybody remembers is
Stacey's Mom.
And it's got this iconic video, and it's an insanely catchy song. I mean, it's like, I wish I could get the song on my head kind of song. You know what I mean?
However.
But.
However, what else did he do?
He's done a million things. He's very active in television. He has written songs that were performed by just about everybody, including Superdrag, the Monkees, Bowling for Soup, the Jonas Brothers, Katy Perry, just like involved with everything.
Everyone.
Yeah, like everyone. He's a songwriter who's where a lot of people did his songs. he co-wrote songs for musical theater for an adaptation of John Waters' Crybaby. He's done more television that, like, I could probably go through here on this podcast. Everything from the Disney Parks Christmas Day Parade with Neil Patrick Harris to Saturday Night Live to the Howard Stern Show to frickin' Sesame Street. Okay? And one of the biggest things he did, and this is like, if anybody's out there's a musician or songwriter, you're going to be kind of like blown away by this. He wrote songs and was executive music producer for the comedy Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, where he had to write and perform at least two original songs every episode.
Wow.
That is a lot of freaking songwriting. And everything.
No pressure there, you know?
Pretty much everything he did was really good. It was just, you know, just like, it, you know, he really wasn't a slouch. He was just like kind of a Renaissance man of music. And I was a huge Fountains of Wayne fan. If you have never heard the album Traffic and Weather, get it. It's every song is just will put a big smile on your face. It's that super fun rock, pop stuff.
Stuff you can't get out of your head.
You just can't.
It's catchy tunes.
Speaking of not getting out of your head, the one I know him for, which I just found out recently, which was like an hour ago, he also wrote the song for That Thing You Do, the one the O'Neillers were playing.
That's right.
He actually wrote that. So that was something I did not know.
The guy was
definitely, yeah, it was like on a YouTube video or something I seen. If you just like type in artists we lost in 2020, then he comes up in like pretty much every one of them. And like you said, he's done a ton of like TV, and you mentioned that show he does where he does the two original songs. That was something he's done, I think, more recently. But that even going back to the Tom Hanks film, That Thing You Do, which is a great movie, but all the catchy songs in that, I'm pretty sure he had his hand. Yeah.
You mean Jimmy didn't write those from the O'Neaters?
Yeah, the O'Neaters.
Well, the only one he wrote was that the one, I'm Alone in My Principles, which he went back to Regerman wrote, if you know what I'm talking about there. Mm. But I think you do.
I love that movie.
It is a great movie. I mean, it's got Tom Hanks in it, so it's kind of hard to suck, you know?
Liv Tyler sold me to watch it, so.
I should.
Yeah, I mean, there's the one scene in that movie where she looks at Jimmy with what I call the come and get me eyes, so that's always a good spot.
Right.
That's always a good thing.
I like the drummer in that movie. He's a kid who gets really into jazz.
Yeah.
And they all have stories at the end where they all ended up. And he ended up.
I think he was a jazz drummer overall, but he was just kind of doing that gig because he was filling in. But that fill-in led to a
career,
you know, a pretty roller coaster ride. Then he stayed on and had, which interesting is the fact where if you do like there's a little behind the you know movie thing I guess we'll call it. Those guys actually learn how to play the instruments for that movie. I mean, there's coaches that are like Billy Ward, Kenny Aronoff, are teaching him how to play drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And teaching him how to play rock beats, teaching him, they're showing us like videos of him learning how to play, you know, some swing stuff. And it's a cool like breakdown of like how those guys, Steve Zahn's pretty talented. I mean, he's kind of a dork, but I mean, it's I've seen him in several things where he's like kind of that one dimensional actor, but he's funny at least in what he does. And what the hell is the bass player's name? He's known as just Ethan Embry. But he's known as just the bass player. He's just the bass player in that movie. But,
you know, you know what his name is? They give his name. You know
I have
the
no
actor?
Idea.
The actor. The character's name is that is played by TB Player.
Really?
It is. Look, watch the credits.
Wow,
TB Player.
I've never even heard him. I didn't even know his name in that movie. I just know him.
If you watch the credits, TB Player. I've seen a movie a couple times, and every time it cracks me up, TB Player.
That's great. I have to look at that next time I watch it.
It's very cool.
Chad going to solo on Wipeout tonight.
You know, speaking of having people coach the actors, just as an aside, Arlen Roth, the guy who's probably was the first guy, Arlen Roth sold teaching VHS tapes through magazine articles, not just VHS tapes, but like this was even before he sold like records, like vinyl records you could buy that had him teaching you how to play guitar. So he was like the king of teaching stuff for guitars. And he was hired. He taught Ralph Macchio how to play for Crossroads.
Nice.
And about that, because he is playing. He's not a guy being recorded, but he can play enough to really make it look like he's playing. And there's a behind the scenes on that, and they show him learning and stuff. It's really interesting. It's cool stuff. So, Lily, what do you got? Or who's next? I'm sorry.
I don't care. It don't matter.
That's me, right? I think it's me.
Yeah, go ahead. It's all good, right?
Bill Withers.
See, I change the order. I usually do like either Keith and Lily than me. And I'm going
mix up. Just so happens, I don't know what it is, but that was my pick too. So just go ahead with it.
Okay.
I try to keep it as rock and roll as I could, but there's just sometimes you like Little Richard, Bill Withers. You can't deny the awesomeness there.
Well,
you have to talk
about it. I didn't know that KT Osland and Joe Diffie died. I was like, what the hell?
I saw that.
But anyways, go ahead.
I've seen Joe Diffie on one of the videos, but yeah, definitely. Yeah. Actually, I've seen Bill Withers not included in one of these videos, which is blasphemy, but go ahead.
Oh. Well, he died from heart complications in March, 81. He's recorded several hits, Ain't No Sunshine, which is one of my favorites, Lean On Me, Just the Two of Us. He's won 3 Grammy Awards, nominated for 6 more awards, worked as a professional musician for 15 years from 1970 to 85, and moved on to other occupations. I didn't know that part of it, that he just didn't want to be a musician anymore.
Yeah, he thought it was really a CD. Well, he thought it was a CD business. Oh,
okay.
This is kind of shady.
He's worked for IBM, Ford, the whole thing. But another one, Ain't No Sunshine is my favorite. But after that, he sort of refused to work.
Yeah, every once in a while he would show up and do something here and there. Yeah, you said he did not die in 1981. He was diagnosed with heart condition. You said he died of a heart condition in 1981.
No, I said he was aged 81.
Oh, okay. I thought you said he died. No. He died of heart condition.
I was like, damn, that son of a bitch came back.
All right, I got you.
No, he died March 20th, aged 81.
Oh, my God. Keith, what did you slip into my drink, brother? I'm talking backwards tonight. I said Macwood Fleet or something earlier.
That's okay. We knew what you meant.
It's called the Big Mick.
The
Big Mickey. That's something I've rarely done, but I thought tonight you deserved it for some reason.
Bill Withers, though, dude, like, I remember hearing that guy's music and going like, what the hell is this? This is
amazing.
Like, that's some deep shit, man. I got the greatest hits on CD, bro. Ooh. I rocked that shit out, man.
I mean, he's definitely known for those Lean On Me, Lovely Days. I've heard him. I've played in the bands down here since I moved here a million times. But my ultimate Bill Withers go-to song is Use Me. That shit is funky as hell. I think Bill Withers is probably more known as, if you dig into his career a little bit, he had some problems with his label. He was probably more of a reluctant rock star, if you will. I mean, guy had like a clean cut look and just, but just a great songwriter. I mean, solid guitar player. I mean, he great voice, man. He had just catchy songs. I mean, goes on and on, but I think he was one of those guys that just probably, if you looked up, rock or R&B pop guy in dictionary, he's not going to be a picture of Bill Withers. But it's, like I said, I know he had some problems with his label. He did think it was a CD business, and he kind of was very absentee for long periods of time. So, but when he was out, he was delivering the hits, man.
He did his job.
Yes,
he did a job. Do you want to pick somebody else, Keith?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the guy we were speaking of before the show started. I hope we weren't. I don't want to repeat myself, but I talked about the Billy Rifflin, right? Or is that?
Yeah, no. Get into that. No, the show hadn't started. Go ahead.
Okay, so Billy Rifflin is a guy who I knew he played with Nine Inch Nails. I knew he played at times with KMFDM. He also did Ministry's bigger albums, The Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste. He was also on, I think it was Psalm 69, but he's played on a lot of other, like, more, I don't want to say versatile, but like eclectic things, we'll say, that is like REM. He played with REM for a while and definitely did their last few albums with him. He was also in King Crimson, which I read in a biography thing. I don't remember that period of King Crimson.
You gotta be a pretty serious player to play with King Crimson, dude.
Oh, no, there's no doubt. I mean, you know, there's times where I know King Crimson's, you know, a lot of the times they've had two drummers at times, yeah. You know, two just great players. When I see them, the only one in time, I've seen Bill Bruford and Pat Mastalotta, who played with friggin' Mr. played with King Crimson, you know. So it's, and they have two drummers to this day. And I don't know the exact, you know, where Billy Rifflin was in the King Crimson camp, we'll say, but the guy definitely could play, and he had a very, very long career, man. And hopefully, you know, rest in peace. But once again, the drummers are taking an ass whooping on this one, because that's another one.
Do you have Lee Kerslake on your list?
I do, buddy. Yes.
Yeah, gotta talk about Lee real quick. We'll get back to Lily here in a second.
Lee Kerslake's a guy that's probably one of the unsung heroes of rock. I mean, he's been on my favorite Ozzy records. He played on stuff that I think that didn't get credited for a long time. He was also a backing vocalist and drummer for Uriah Heep. So, I mean, this guy is probably not the household name you would think in rock star drumming, but he's played on some big records and didn't get the credit he deserved. And I think that hopefully his legacy will live on after his death, unfortunately. But I know he's had some problems in the past with Sharon Osbourne and different things I've read about. But yeah, he's definitely been on some big songs, and definitely playing with Ozzy, Uriah Heep. I'm sure there's more than that, but I'm not a Lee Kerslake, you know, professional. I don't know everything he's played on. But
really?
Those are the two. I don't know if those exist, but those are the two bigger acts that I know he's played on. I know he got the shaft on a lot of the Ozzy stuff, so that's, you know, it's unfortunate. But
there's a really, you could probably still find on YouTube, I'm sure, sad video of, it's probably from like maybe 2018, with him pleading on camera. Well, not so much pleading, but just sort of like saying that, hey, you know, the only thing I want, I don't want any money from the stuff with Ozzy. I would just want the two gold records that I was owed. And
yeah, he wanted basically
he just wanted two. Those two gold records. I never got my gold records, so I don't know what happened. Like I was following that story briefly because Eddie Trunk was talking about it, but I'm never sure. So someone in the audience wants to chime in and let us know.
I heard it was Sharon Osbourne was giving him a hard time about it.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she went back and re-recorded Blizzard of Oz. They kept Ozzy's voice and they kept Randy's guitar, and they put two other musicians on it. I think, what's his name? The guy plays in Metallica as the bass player. What's his name?
Robert Trujillo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was the bass player on it. I don't know about that, dude. Like, ooh. Anyway,
no matter what, Sharon Osbourne comes across as like some sweet little English woman sometimes. I think she can turn a dime on that.
No. She's very shrewd. She's a fucking shark.
Yeah, I think she'd cut your throat for $50.
Hell,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe 50 cents. what? So, do we have any comments, Lil?
We have Bobby Lamondi watching.
Yay, Bobby Lamondi!
Todd Kane said he saw Charlie Daniels and Molly Hatchet together in the 80s.
Hey, Todd. What's up, bro? Thank you for the Christmas wish. I did appreciate that.
Ed Roman's watching.
Ed, what's up? Red Omen, I love you, brother.
And we got Beth, our super fan, watching.
Beth.
So
Beth's, is that her husband's having some problem?
Yeah,
he's having some health issues. So she's been kind of, sweetie, you know, we totally understand. We do appreciate it. Who do you have next on your list, Lily?
Next on my list is Paul Chapman, best known for UFO and Lone Star, guitarist. He had joined Skid Row in the 70s, replacing Gary Moore, and first joined UFO in 1974. Of course, he left UFO due to differences with the band and went on to form Lone Star where he remained until June 1978.
The Country Band.
Yes.
Wow, this guy is an eclectic musician.
And in 77...
I was going to say, if it's going from UFO to Lone Star, that's a hell of a departure, man. So that's interesting.
You got to respect that, right, Keith? The guy that can... those are two very successful bands. It's not like his country
band.
What
was he, the guitar player? Or no?
Guitarist.
Pete Way was the bass player. He freaking died, too.
Nope, so, yeah, he passed away, too. We lost two UFOers.
And he filled in for Michael Schenker in UFO and when they were touring for Rush. And he died on his 66th birthday in June of this year due to a stroke. But he accomplished some good things. So.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Good for him, man. You want to mention Pete Way? Do you have Pete Way on your list real quick?
I do. I got to find it. I know I have him, though.
Since we're on a UFO.
Since we're on that kick. Pete Way.
Just a quickie with Pete.
Maybe I didn't
We love Quick. You don't have him? Bass player, founder of one of the founding members.
Oh, there he is. There he is. I knew I had both of them. Bass player. For UFO.
Yeah, bass player. Gotta give a little bass player some love.
For UFO from 68 to 82. Also founding member of Wasted.
68 to 82. He was in the same band from 68 to 82.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I don't know, Keith. Can you imagine being in the same band, Robert?
Did he kill anyone? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But he was also...
If the money's good, but I mean, you know, ask Joey Kramer about that shit. He was, you know, in and out of... Aerosmith, how many times in the last year?
Go ahead.
He's also the founder of Wasted and Fastway, which is one of my favorite bands.
Say what you will.
He also worked with Ozzy and Michael Schenker. He died at age 69 one week after his birthday in August of this year. He had life-threatening injuries from an accident, so that's how he died. But, again, another one. Who has done a lot of good things.
Well, what was cool about UFO was, what was it, 20? Was it 2019? They were doing
yes,
that big
and
world.
Yes, I saw it, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, and middle of the tour, part of the tour, the keyboard player passed away suddenly. Just went into his hotel room and never woke up again. That's the way to go. You're on tour with a band, you're rocking out, you go to sleep, and you're done.
I think that's how most musicians want to do it.
Yeah, I mean...
like that's it. Just the John Bonham, Jimi Hendrix thing, you know? It's just kind of...
Well, the John Bonham and Jimi Hendrix had the choke on vomit.
I kind of feel there was suffering there.
They were pretty loaded, but I mean, at the same time, I don't know how much they struggled, but I mean, they just kind of went in their sleep, we'll say. So.
Yeah, Pete Way, Paul Chapman, UFO. So I'm going to say pretty much UFO's probably done.
UFO had some problems this year.
UFO's probably not a thing anymore. I'm just saying.
I kind of feel like they probably don't need to do it anymore. They're good.
I just want to give a shout out real quick to Leslie West, and you can I have it in the show notes where you can go to read my interview with him. Unfortunately, I do have the audio. I'm going to find it out. I'm going to put it out. I'm going to send it out as an email
to
everybody. Because I don't know how his management would take me just publishing without permission the audio to that. But if you guys want to hear it, I want to put it because he was great and it was so gracious. Just really, it was really touching.
It's nice when they're...
But just real quick, primarily known for the band Mountain, Mississippi Queen, you know what I mean? But was part of West, Bruce, and Lang. That's a super group.
I didn't know
that
last
one. With Jack Bruce and Corky Lang. And The Vagrants...
I didn't realize
...was another band that he was in. And I believe this is probably with... this is an early band.
60s.
Yeah. So, anyways, amazing guitar sound, and there's not really much I just want to say. Frequent favorite on the Howard Stern show too. So if you can go back and listen to his things that he was,
I was going to mention that. Yeah, he definitely was. Well, I don't think he left. He might have kind of just stayed there. And I don't know if he was sweeping up and sleeping in the back. I don't know, but he definitely liked to hang out at the Stern show. Stern loved him, so that's you know.
I'll mention this person later. Who wants to go next? Keith, you want to go?
I think that's to Keith.
I got one that's another drummer, go figure. But this one here is an interesting one because I wasn't even aware that he passed away because I seen an actual lesson about his beat to one of the biggest songs, you know, that he was in. But this guy is W.S. Fluke Holland. Now, this guy was a drummer for Johnny Cash. So he's one of the pioneers of the original The Train beat. I mean, it's just one of those guys that come in, you know, he played that Steel and most of the Johnny Cash songs. And he was still drumming until, I mean, the guy was in his 80s, man, and was still, wow, like, showing people different things. He was taking, there was a guy talking about taking lessons from him, and he looked every 80 something. But, I mean, he, W.S. Flew Collin definitely was someone that I think probably is not going to get, you know, known for what's some masterful drummer, but he like had that, he had that feel, like that Johnny Cash feel that they were going for in their music. And he's definitely a drummer that probably flies under the radar, but is responsible for some different, you know, country up tempo stuff too, not stuff that's easy to play, but like, you know, some of those, you know, beats he played in and some of the fast train beats he played in the songs like Fool from Prison, They're moving along in a pretty good clip, so you have to give credit where it's due. The guy definitely had a different sound.
Pretty steady, and, dude. Pretty rock, yeah, solid, yeah, with the timing.
Sharp like a razor, they would say.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, he listened to like most iconic live albums, live from Folsom Prison. He definitely plays some very up-tempo things that are probably a little harder than you think to try to actually sit down and play. So it's... that was the lesson breakdown, but I wasn't aware he passed away, and I think he just passed away within the last few months, maybe. So don't quote me on that, but I think that he definitely, towards the tail end of this year, he was taken from us, unfortunately. Like I said, another kick in the ass of drummers for, you know, 2020. So,
well, you're talking, you weren't kidding when you're saying drummers were really getting it up the butt.
Wow,
you guys are. So
I got at least four. There's probably four or five more about it. I mean, they're not all like super famous, but they're from bands you've heard of before.
Yeah. So what do you got?
I wasn't even aware of some of these people.
Yeah. What do you got, Lily?
I'm going to go with one that isn't necessarily a rocker, but Eric Weissberg. Banjo player, known for the dueling banjos featured in Deliverance. Excuse me. Released as, it reached number 2 in the States and in Canada. Member of the folk group for the Terriers for years. He later developed a career as a session musician, played and recorded with leading folk, bluegrass, rock, and popular musicians and groups from the middle of the 20th century to its end. Unfortunately, we lost him in March. He was 80, though. Unfortunately, it was Alzheimer's, but still, pretty cool. Everybody knows the dueling banjos, so I sing it all the time when I'm in the country.
I'm going to do just a real quick shout-out, because this is probably an artist that probably most people don't know about, but what he's most famously known for is writing the song that Bonnie Raitt had a giant hit with called Angel from Montgomery. But it's John Prine, who was amazing songwriter, and carved out a little niche in this sort of beginning of alt country ish Americana type vibe there. Him and guys like, Fred Eagle Smith and the Lucinda Williams sort of rode this kind of like razor's edge between, no, it's not country, no, it's not rock, it's not southern rock, it's really good, but so they had to come up with a different name, Americana or whatever you like to call it, but it's just good music that pulls in from influences. But John has a great line, and I think we could all benefit from right now given the world situation. And he has a line in a song where he says, blow up your TV.
And there it is.
You know, blow up your TV, move to the country, have a bunch of children, eat a lot of peaches. And that was his sort of advice to everybody. So anyways, rest in peace, John Prine. Done.
So
somebody
said definitely. Listen, he was a great songwriter. Definitely had that toe in the line between country and rock, and you know, just different vibes. I mean, it's hard to categorize that stuff and make up genres. So in my opinion, that's what happens, where you can't think of what exactly is this now. How can we make this marketable? Let's just tag him with something. So yeah, someone that was on that maybe old country genre for in the early days of it.
Yeah, for sure. Keith, we can hear you well, but visually you're frozen, or are you just sitting still?
I don't know if he's sitting that still.
If you're sitting that still, dude, you could get like a job as like a mannequin.
What about me?
You're frozen in time. Not your voice, just your image.
Nobody wants to see me anyway, so I mean, unless you can hear me.
That's true, we can't.
So, so go ahead, what do you got next?
I'm going to go with one we can got to get to eventually. It's his favorite son and one of my favorites, Neil Elwood Peart. This guy was the professor. He was the arguably greatest drummer of all time. I'll just leave that to your opinion. He wasn't the founding member. He was actually always the new guy in a band called Rush. He was their primary lyric writer, which is for to do. I couldn't write a lyric to save my life. So, and he wrote, he was a very private, intelligent person who just kind of lived in his way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just listen to the song Limelight and tells you basically what he's thinking of, and that's how he approached everything. And he was like, he had a lot of tragedy in his life, if you know him about the past, and still came to play every night through, you know, towards the end, unfortunately, through a lot of pain, going through a lot of problems, and then succumbed to cancer. And just, you know, in January 7th, I remember where I was at. I was playing a gig on Decatur Street, and I got a text from Lou Lombardi. It said, you know, Neil Peart died. I started crying. I'll admit it. Like a little bitch.
You little bitch. That broke my heart.
I was actually for the next two songs trying to play some shitty, you know, blues stuff. And I was thinking to myself, this is terrible. I just lost a iconic hero of mine. Who's when I was a kid, and I still couldn't understand what the hell he was playing. Was that poster on my wall? And I was just trying to hold my sticks like him. And when he's traditional, I try to. And it was a lot of fun, but then it's just, and just listen to how he played and how he progressed, matured. That was one guy that never stood pat when it came to, all right, I'm a pretty good drummer, I'm going to stay right here, and never know. He kept learning different styles of music, and on to be, like I said, the greatest rock and roll drummer of all time.
I think that one of the cool things about Neil was he was not only a musician, he was a music fan. He loved everything. Right. Like, Rush was one of those bands that was really, you know, excited to hear bands like The Police and U2. Like, those guys, like, when they heard those guys, they really, like, influenced them. You know, they really were, like, you know, wanted to say, well, you know, what can we do with these, you know, this type of sound and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, he just was not one to sit on his laurels, man. He was like, but dude, the lyrics, see, to me, like, as a songwriter, I think this is something that I don't think he gets really enough credit for. It's like, oh yeah, he's a drummer and he also wrote the lyrics. That's cool. But I mean, he's a really good freaking songwriter. Like, amazing.
Yeah, he's gonna write me chum change, freaking sixth grade juvenile lyrics. A lot of just shit. I mean, he's putting some thought into these lyrics, and he's definitely put it out there, and he to me in a picture, be prog rock or not, bring song to life. And like I said, I don't think someone that, you know, knows, I never had beef with with drugs, alcohol, you never heard of it. I mean, sometimes they go out there writing song trees, but it's metaphoric, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different things you go on, or a song like Red for Chest, you know, paints a picture. You can't imagine something in your mind. Listen to Red Barchetta, you got a problem.
It's Red Barchetta. I was gonna. It's like another song that we talked about earlier tonight. It's like Devil Went Down to Georgia. It tells a story. It's very cool. It's the same kind of thing. Like, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's a climax, there's an end. You know, you're like, the whole time you're like following along. Like, what's gonna happen? You know, I think you know, it's freaking brilliant. But Neil Peart, man, I think we should get on to somebody else, right?
Sure.
You want to talk about Eddie Van Halen?
That's who I was going to say next.
I mean, those are really the in our minds, I think the three of us here were like those are the most prominent ones. We love all these other folks, but just in terms of our, you know, attention or whatever.
This was the most devastating for me this year was Eddie Van Halen. Everybody knows him from Van Halen. One of the greatest guitar players in rock history, well known for popularizing the tapping guitar technique, not coming up with it, but popularizing it. He unfortunately died of a stroke at age 65. He was surrounded by his family, though, so he wasn't alone or anything.
Well, he had been sick. I mean, the stroke was the nail in the coffin.
Right, right. And Wolfgang announced that Van Halen, yes, will not be going on any further without him. So they won't be. They won't be to pay homage to that. They will not be continuing with the band. Same like Led Zeppelin did.
I think they should get Mike Portnoy to play guitar. Right, Keith?
Well, Keith's gonna have a stroke now.
Like definitely a serious problem. And I mean, if I was affected, but I heard iconic players that are that caliber. But it is, I don't think Van Halen,
Keith.
The dude never word. Van Halen, and that the dude don't shut up. Every time I heard about someone. Somebody or saying something, dude. No one ever even heard of Eddie Van Halen's. And then you're just hanging out and you're talking shit the whole time.
Hey, Keith, buddy. I think you should hang up and call back in. You're frozen and you're getting garbled, brother. Just jump off and come back on. We'll let you right back on. I promise.
Will you?
I promise. So that's it. Okay, we have to apologize. Having some technical difficulties with the hawk there. It happens sometimes. So, what do you want to talk about?
Do you want me to continue? I don't have anything else on that. Do you want me talking about another person?
I'm going
to
talk about another person.
Go ahead.
And maybe you can chime in on it. And I'm sure Keith will have something to say as soon as he gets back on. But let's talk about Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, I have him on my list.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us about Kenny Rogers?
Singer, songwriter, musician, actor, record producer, entrepreneur, Country Music Hall of Fame, popular with the country audiences, but he also charted more than 120 hit singles across various music genres. He remade his career and was one of the most successful crossover artists of all time. He died from natural causes at 81 years old.
81? Look, man, if you got to go at 81.
He lived a good life.
I mean, and you did all that stuff?
Yeah.
There's an even funny bit in... We got Hawk back, I think, in a second. There's even a funny bit on Seinfeld about that Kenny Rogers chicken.
The chicken? I ate there one time because there used to be one on the way to Kennywood. It's a Taco Bell now.
Oh,
but
geez.
I ate there one time with my family.
Holy crap.
And I'm like, Kenny Rogers like the singer? And my mom's like, yeah, I like the singer. I'm like, whoa, that's crazy.
Keith, you there? Keith, come back to us. Now you're just a black screen.
Baby, come back.
Keith, you come back. You guys having bad weather down there or something? Maybe this is going on. I don't know. It's crazy.
But he sang with Dolly Parton and many other people, and he's just fantastic.
He had an interesting relationship with Lionel Richie, of all people.
Really?
He wrote songs that Lionel wrote. What song did Lionel write for him? He wrote a song for him, and I'm sorry. I'm spacing at the moment, that Kenny had a big hit with. I'm going to do a quick Google search.
All right. Well, while you're doing that, I can also talk about Tony Lewis, just to digress a little bit. He was the lead singer and bassist of the pop rock band The Outfield. Obviously, everybody knows his song, or their song, Your Love. It's really all I have on him. It was a good song, kind of a one-hit wonder kind of deal, but... Everybody knows the song. It's probably going to be played at my birthday on Thursday. Let's just be real about it. He died in October, 62. No cause of death was given. I'm going to assume nothing really bad happened if they're not going to mention it.
Yeah, well, there's some comments here from Lionel Richie on Kenny
Aww,
Rogers.
That was a sweet photo.
The song was Lady. I'm your knight in shining armor. And I thought that's what it was. But it was written by Lionel Richie, and Kenny Rogers had a big hit with it.
Oh, Beth told us before you even did it. Beth on the podcast told us. On the messages.
It was, that was a monster
that
hit.
That is a great photo right there. Look at that.
Yeah, if you go to heavy.com, there's a really touching photo of Kenny Rogers and Lionel Richie, you know, giving each other a hug on a stage. Very cool stuff. Keith, what's going on? You there? Keith!
Cuckoo!
Okay, we're still having Keith issues, so hopefully we'll get the Hawk back here in a few minutes before we wrap up. I'm trying to think if there's anybody. I know there's a giant list.
There's 167 people who passed away in the music industry this year.
Crazy.
Yes. So there are quite a few. There's also Bonnie Pointer from the Pointer Sisters. She was super famous for that, but she also did a couple of her own hits. She did the disco cover of Heaven Must Have Sent You, became a top 20 in the U.S. She died from cardiac arrest, unfortunately, in June.
Billy Joe Shaver, the famous country singer-songwriter, songs covered by Johnny Cash, the Allman Brothers, and Elvis Presley.
Oh, Jorge Santana, Carlos's brother.
Jorge. His name is Jorge. That's not Carlos's brother.
It is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. I swear to God. Look it up. It really is.
Wow. Oh, I Am a Woman. Delta Dawn, Helen Reddy passed away.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Beth said, this is not music related, but Alex Trebek. We did lose him, too.
yes, we have Bonnie Point. Charlie Pride.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first black, like, kind of like gentleman of country music.
If you actually go to Wikipedia, you can actually put it in the search for the 2020 deaths in the music industry, and it'll come up with 167 of them.
It's crazy.
It's kind of sad.
I mentioned earlier KT Oslin, who passed away. Keith Olsen, very famous record producer. I worked with Fleetwood Mac and Pat Benatar, and a bunch of people passed away as well. Wow. Johnny Nash, I can see clearly now. The sun is...
Yeah.
The rain has gone around. Johnny Nash passed away as well. Oh, and Nino Morricone, the Italian film score composer from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, he passed away.
There's a lot that weren't even ever brought up.
Mays, pianist for Pat Metheny. I saw him play with Pat Metheny. Wow.
There's a lot. It's a whole thing.
Ian Mitchell, the Bay City Rollers.
Yes, I had that on my big list here, obviously.
We got a bunch of them here.
It's just sad. Tony Costanza from Machine Head. He was in that band forever.
Trini Lopez, who sang If I Had a Hammer and Lemon Tree.
Ronald Bell from Cool and the Gang.
Yep.
That's who you meant when you were bringing up Cool and the Gang earlier.
Oh, Tony Lewis.
Mark Stone from Van Halen, the original bassist from 110 years ago. Wow.
Tony Lewis from, you mentioned Tony Lewis, right? From the Outfield?
Yes.
Sorry, that was like five. Oh, Bob, we should talk about Bob Kulick. Bruce Kulick's brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passed away. He was a guitarist, a producer, worked with Kiss, Lou Reed, and a bunch of other people.
Oh, Pelle Alsing from Roxette. I think he was the drummer from Roxette.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, when I was upset when the lead singer died last year. Now it's like, it's the Pelle. I think it's Pelle, how you say that.
Oh, Brian Howe, the second frontman for Bad Company. Gee whiz.
There's a lot.
It's crazy.
It's been a bad year.
You mentioned Peter Green. Andy Gill from Gang of Four.
Clay Anthony from Junkyard.
Jeez.
He was in a car accident.
Steve Farmer from Amboy Dokes, who co-wrote Journey to the Center of the Mind. Justin Towns Earl, Steve Earle's son. And I do not believe that the cause of death has ever been disclosed. I believe he killed himself.
We only have 3 more days, so let's hope nothing else happens.
Mac Davis died.
Oh, yeah, Elvis guy.
Songwriter for Elvis Presley, and he had some hits in the 70s. It's crazy. Are you guys feeling really good now? You guys feeling really good? Oh, Sweet Pea Atkinson was the singer for Was Not Was and a bunch of other things. Famous background vocalist, sang on tons of people's records.
Yeah, it's just sad.
So, anyways.
I think we lost Keith.
I think we lost Keith. There's some kind of, there's a glitch in the Matrix. There's
Maybe.
A glitch in the Zoom tricks. But anyways, Keith, we love you. And I hope you're okay, man. I'm not sure what happened. But we're going to get the hell out of here. It was a fun podcast.
Despite the deaths.
Let me just pop over here. Let's see if there's any good things that happened on this day in music before we just lose our freaking minds. goodness gracious.
No.
Let me see. What's going on here? Jimi Hendrix Experience on this day in 1966 made their debut on the in the UK on the TV show Top of the Pops. On this day in 1973, Jim Croce, or Croce,
however you want to say it,
had number one single with the song Time in a Bottle. And I won't tell you the words that I used to sing to it. And Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin appeared on the appeared at the Civic Auditorium, Portland, for their first North American tour, opening with for Vanilla Fudge on this day in 1968. Shout out, happy birthday to Neil Giraldo, Pat Benatar, Mr. Pat Benatar.
Right? Mr. Pat Benatar.
Mr. Pat Benatar.
Nice.
let's see, who else we got? That's primarily the most
famous
one that we have. Cozy Powell, English rock drummer, played with everybody. I must have scrolled the wrong way. Marianne Faithful, Rick Danko from the band. So guys, happy birthday to all y'all. All y'all. Suddenly, I am from southwestern Pennsylvania. that does make sense. All right, guys. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online. Get a custom paint job done on that guitar, man. No sense in getting up there on YouTube or Facebook or whatever you're doing. Twitch, TikTok.
All the things.
Whatever you're doing and having it's like the same stupid looking guitar. Check them out. Wolfscustoms.online. Shout out to my brother, Keith the Hawk Hawkins. I don't know what happened. We had some technical difficulties, so we'll have to do a special podcast, Keith only podcast, maybe, to just get the things
straight.
Guys
can talk about Rush.
Yeah, we can just do like all Rush
all
day.
And I'll take a nap.
7 hours of Rush. And we have Lily V6.
And also, not only is the podcast on my show on Thursday, it's my birthday on Thursday, New Year's Eve. There will be a party. You're not all invited. You have to have a VIP. Lou has a VIP. He's coming in. But
you gotta have a VIP if you want to be with me.
If you're staying home between the hours of 6 and 8 on Thursday, listen to the show. It's Hot Licks with Lily 6 on RockRageRadio.com.
Hot Licks. Yeah, guys. We whittled away yet another podcast hour. Oh, and of course, to our affiliate there, Rock Rage Radio. Go to RockRageRadio.com. Download the app. You can listen not only to this, but some great music 24/7. Check it out. It's totally free. Totally free. So if like you're really broke, you lost your job or whatever, you know, your business hasn't reopened yet, you can still hear great guitar driven rock 24/7. Check it out. All right, guys, have a wonderful. If you are listening to this on rock, let me see. They are this on what? Sundays.
Sundays, so it's after the New Year.
So it's already after the New Year. So you can pretend. That means you get another 2 days where you can go celebrate all over again, right?
Exactly.
You get drunk again. So for the rest of you, Happy New Year, and we'll see you all in 2021 with some great podcasts. We got some new stuff coming up. You guys are really going to like it. Have a great one. Love you guys. Keith, Lily, thank you. And we'll see you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Oh, no.
What?
I wanted to turn the music up at the end. I can't find the damn link. No.
I hate when that happens.
Oh, my God. It's hiding somewhere. Oh, okay. All right, guys. See ya.